Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Glad that you're with us. We've been talking about family this morning, and we just finished singing a song about how we have a love for one another, that we join together in a common love because of Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ, which all sounds good. But you may have a brother or sister in this audience today whom you've not yet met. And I wonder, every Sunday morning, at least when I'm here, I ask everyone to get up and to say good morning to one another. If there's someone here this morning whom you have not yet met, would you please introduce yourself to your sister or to your brother? Let's go ahead and do that. Glad that you're with us today. Glad that you are here. Sometimes the physical part of us can be so overwhelming and so wonderful that we maybe quietly wonder, do I need the spiritual at all? And then there are times in our life where we feel so connected to a loving creator, and sometimes maybe even be part of a worship service or some event where we feel like God's presence is so profoundly amazing and wonderful and personal that we wonder, why in the world do we need anything physical? I think there are times in our life when, especially when we're trying to make a decision about committing ourselves to Christ Jesus, and that we go ahead with it, that we feel like there's faith there. And I just want to build on this faith throughout the rest of my life, or your life. And maybe it begins that way, and it moves along well, and then we wonder, what happened, and where did it go? And then there are other times when we feel like, you know, I'm not sure if I believe in a loving creator at all. And then time goes on, and God shows himself to us over and over again. Life is really interesting. Physically, spiritually, intellectually, and in every way. How we have ups and downs. And in the Gospel of Mark, which is a very quick gospel and a profound gospel, most scholars believe, as I do, that Mark was the first gospel that was written. And both Matthew and Luke borrowed heavily from Mark's template of the gospel. And what Mark suggests all throughout his brief book is this dance between belief and unbelief, between the physical and between the spiritual. And that there is a uniqueness to each one of us in understanding faith and understanding the spiritual, and yet questioning and sometimes wonder if we believe it all. And throughout this book, he uses words like fear and unbelief and belief constantly and gives physical demonstrations of it. In Mark chapter 4 and all the way through chapter 5, Mark does what he does. He tells stories, but he tells quick stories. And these stories are all to do with, man, why can't I just believe? And he combines the physical and the spiritual. And these stories, I'm sure many of you have heard many, many times. And it's the story that he begins with, beginning in chapter 35 of Mark, and that the people had been with Jesus, the disciples had been following Jesus. Jesus comes to his disciples and says, let's go out to the other side. He gets into a boat, leaving the crowd behind. And then even though in their exhaustion, a furious squall comes up. I know many of you know this story very, very well. The waves are breaking over the boat so that the boat was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping. The physical and the spiritual. Jesus sees the storm all around him, and he says, I think I'll take a nap. And his disciples are scared to death. When somebody writes in the Bible something, there's a reason for it. When you and I have a discussion with someone, there's a reason why we are discussing what we're discussing. The Bible doesn't say, I guess I got to write something down, so I'll write it down. It's the stories of people's lives. Have you ever stopped to think that if you lived at a time when Jesus lived, that maybe we'd read about you in the Bible? They're just normal, regular people. But Jesus is trying to help us to understand the dance, the beautiful, rhythmic dance between the physical and the spiritual. Jesus was physical. A storm is raging, and he takes a nap, demonstrating to the physical that no matter what is going on around us, the spiritual can be heightened. And he gives them this example. So the disciples are terrified. They had to wake him up and ask the question, don't you care if we drown? And his response was not to them. His response was to the storm. And he tells the wind, rebukes the wind and the waves, and says to them, be quiet, be still. And then it's all still. And then these words. Here's why Mark wrote this. He said in verse 40, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And yet, if we're honest, I think faith and being afraid is a dance. Is a dance. Sometimes we are afraid because of what's happening, because of a loved one in grievous peril. We don't know what's going to happen. We're afraid. That's part of the dance. The other part of the dance is God help. God help. Now, I don't know if everyone has had this experience, but maybe you have had this experience where you prayed so earnestly, nonstop, because someone you love more than you love yourself is in real trouble, maybe physically or whatever, and we don't know what's going to happen. How many have had this experience? You would gladly give your life. You would gladly give your life if God would say, I'll make this child well, but it's going to cost your life. Not that God would ever do that, but you would say, yep, let it happen. Let it happen. Because there's this connection between us and a loved one. And that same connection is even greater between how God feels about each one of us. There's a dance. There's a dance. That sometimes even people we love hurt, and there's not much we can do about it except pour out our love. So Jesus says, when the storm is raging, yes, you're going to be afraid. They weren't just afraid. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this man? And that's just one example in Mark's story. But the story goes on. It seems like that's enough. Even if that happened once in a lifetime, that's enough. They step out of the boat, and of all places, they land in a cemetery, not the best place to hang out. And when they get there, they come across a man who is completely out of control. Some would say he was demon-possessed. I'm not sure what the whole point of the story was, except that this was a man who was so out of control and lost in the way he acted and lost in the way he thought, terrifying everyone else. Again, notice the words, fear, terrified, out of control. What can we do about this? In fact, the story tells us that there were a group of people in town who went up and they grabbed hold of this man and they chained him so that he couldn't bother people anymore. And as they left the cemetery, he broke the chains. So there wasn't much that could be done except Jesus comes along. And you've probably already followed the story that when Jesus comes, he can settle things, not always giving an answer. Not always giving an answer, but the question of, do you trust me? You may never have the answer, but do you trust me? Not only did Jesus bring peace to the situation, but he makes this man who is completely out of control into control and then having peace in his life. And then the last part of this, and I'll be done this morning, is also found in Mark, where Mark is telling story after story after story of people who are afraid, people who are sick, and all of a sudden Jesus comes into the middle of it, and there's fear, trembling with fear. Jesus kept looking around on occasion when he was walking in to a group of people, all clamoring around Jesus, people touching him. In Luke's account, Luke says there were so many people coming around Jesus that they were almost crushing him. And they're all reaching out for him and touching him. Who is this person? What can he do for me? And there were so many people rushing him and touching him and holding on to him. And then he asks the strangest question. Because there was a woman there. There were a lot of women there. There were men, a lot of men there, all reaching out, all touching him. She was ill, and she thought, if I just touch him, maybe I'll be healed. And they're all touching him. And all of a sudden, Jesus feels something coming out of him, and he asks the question, who touched me? Which is a really strange question. You've got people mobbing you, all clamoring around you, and all you can do is feel their hands on you. What a strange question. Who's touching me? But the real question is, who's touching me with faith? But may I be so bold to say that I think what also might be asked in that question by Jesus is this: who's touching me with faith and at the same time is scared to death? Who's touching me with faith but at the same time is scared to death? There's a dance between fear and faith. There's a dance between trust and questioning. There's a dance between the physical and the spiritual. And so we come to God and we ask him, God, I believe, but as one man asked, I believe, but help my, can you help me? Help my unbelief. I'm so glad that's in the Bible. So glad that's in the Bible. So glad it's our story. And you may be with us today and say, well, if you were in my position, maybe some of us have. Well, if you were ever, and we could ask all these questions, it always comes down to this. Are we willing to dance? Are we willing to know that when the physical becomes so overwhelming that we're not going to forget the spiritual? That when faith is so profound that we'll know that there are times when we wonder what happened to that faith? It hasn't gone anywhere. There's a dance. There's a dance that Jesus asks. Let me conclude with this. Whether you've ever attended a dance or not, if Jesus came to you and everybody else is gone, but if Jesus came to you and asked you this question, may I have this dance? Would you say no? May I have this dance? What I love about Jesus, besides everything, is he gets us. He knows us. And if you're questioning, if you're asking questions, it's okay. And if you're afraid, it's okay. And if there are times when you have great, great belief and then back away and wonder if you have belief at all, you're not a bad person. It's the dance. So that we can live our lives in such a way that even in times of fear and even in times of great difficulty, we can come alongside people and say to them what Jesus says to us. I know. I know. But it's going to be okay. I'm here. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today with mixed emotions, with feelings that are sometimes all over the map, sometimes when we feel like we are mature in our faith, and other times when we're not so sure. In times of unbelief and in times of fear, thank you for not allowing that to always remain. Thank you. And Father, may we as your children learn to pray in such a way that there are times in our life when we've prayed with such earnest because a loved one is in pain or hurting, and we've prayed earnestly, almost with perspiration and sometimes with great perspiration. May we never give up on that. Thank you that you give us your faith. And may we receive you in an amazing way. And for those who are with us today who are just beginning their walk with Christ, we encourage faith to come alongside them. Encourage people to know you better each and every day. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for asking us to dance. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.